In the gospel reading, as our Lord tells us that we are to give to God what is God's, we have to first of all ask ourselves the simple question of whose image and whose inscription is this? When you go home and you look in the mirror, ask yourself that. Whose image and whose inscription is this? It is God's. You're made in the image and the likeness of God. We had this reading a couple of weeks ago at the Novus Ordo Mass, and I told the people at that point, I said, if you ever have a chance to go to Rome, on all these buildings, the arrogance of some of these people, including the popes that had them built, they made sure that everyone know who built it. And it has the name of whoever it was, the emperor, the pope, or whoever, and then it says facit. So-and-so made it. Well, that's exactly what happens with us. Deus facit, Dominus facit. God made it, or the Lord made it. That's who we are. And so we are to give to God what is God's, which is ourself. But if we look at what St. Paul tells us, he says that he prays that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the better things, and that you may be upright and without offense until the day of Christ. That's what we are to give back to God. Not just the simple self, because we can look at the pagans who are also made in the image and likeness of God, the Satanists who are also made in the image and likeness of God. They're going to die one day and they're going to stand before God. And we can't just simply say, well, just, you know, give yourself to God, because they've chosen not to give themselves to God. So it's not just a simple matter of saying, oh, well, God can have me if he wants me. No, if we're going to say, I'm going to give to God what belongs to God, and we're made in the image and likeness of God, and we are children of God, then we are to give to God a life of virtue, a life of holiness, because that's what would be expected. That's what it is to be made in his image and likeness. So again, going back to St. Paul, that we will grow in charity, that love of God and love of neighbor, that we will abound in that, that we will abound in knowledge and all discernment, so that we can know what is true, so that we can know what is good, so that we can know what is just, that we can know what is offensive to God and what is pleasing to God, and therefore have the discernment to choose correctly to do the things that will glorify God. And he says that we would approve the better things, not just to approve the good things, the better things. Remember, God doesn't just want what's good for you. God wants what is best for you. And to learn to approve the better things. Now, the better things, of course, don't always appear as the better things. In other words, if we were to say, well, look, we have these handcuffs or these chains or whatever, these ropes that we can tie you up in, or we have $1 million. Choose the better one. The saints would say, give me the chains and the handcuffs. And that's exactly what St. Paul talks about. He talks about the fact that all of these people, alike in his chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, are sharers in his joy. The joy of the chains and being imprisoned. That's the joy that is his. And the people shared in that because they were united with him. And so again, the better things aren't always what seems most obvious. That's why we need to have the knowledge. That's why we have to have the discernment, so that we can look beyond the surface and see what truly is the better thing, what is the greater thing. Because it's that which is going to make us more holy. It's that which is going to make us more godlike. It's that which is going to lead us closer to heaven. So that's what we want to be about. And so again, St. Paul talks about the fact that he wants us to be without offense unto the day of Christ Jesus, filled with the fruit of justice. And so that's what we're about, so that in Christ we will glorify and praise the Lord. So look at yourself again and ask yourself, at the degree of holiness that God has you at now, and the degree of holiness to which He is calling you, are you doing something that's offensive? That again is where we have to be careful, because as one grows in holiness and one understands more perfectly the will of God, things that wouldn't have been an offense when you weren't very holy are today, because you are more holy, because you have more knowledge of God's will. So for instance, you look at Saint Teresa of Avila when she was at the height of the spiritual life. Okay, you think about how she would talk about when she was younger, when she was earlier in the spiritual life, the difficulties she had, the darkness, how she used to tap on the hourglass to make the sand go a little bit faster, and how she had these people that she would chat with all the time, and the maids of some of the other nuns, and all the different things that were going on. At the time, she wasn't very holy yet. Maybe that wasn't too offensive. But when she had reached the heights of holiness, if she would have done any of those things, that would have been a horrible offense to the Lord. And so the same is true with us. There may be things that you used to do that aren't necessarily sinful. They're not necessarily good either. They're just, you know, whatever. But if you were to do those things today, based on the growth in holiness that is yours, that might be offensive to God. So that again is the point St. Paul is asking us to look at. How do we become more and more the image and likeness of God? Or if you want to think of it another way, we are always in the image of God. The likeness is what has been sullied by sin. How do we become more like God? The image always there, but think of that coin again. The coin can be full of dirt and gunk and so on. The image is still on it, but there's no likeness. You can't see it. Well, you can clean it off. You can polish it up. You can say, wow, look at that. Looks just like Caesar now, or whomever. Well, that's what God wants to do, and that doesn't mean clean off your mirror so that you can see your image more perfectly. That means clean off the self so that the image coming back is more and more the likeness of God. That's what He's looking for from us. That happens only through prayer and through growth in virtue, through striving to grow in holiness. That is the call for every one of us, to be holy, to be saints. That is what God wants for you, to be the greatest saint that you can be. He doesn't want you to be a mediocre saint. And, you know, that's unfortunately where a lot of us keep falling into. We just sort of want to be mediocre. Now, God wants you to be on fire with love for Him. He wants you to be the greatest saint, to have the greatest charity that you can possibly have. That because God is love. So the more we become like God, the more we're going to love. The more perfect we're going to be conformed to the truth, because we're more like God. So that's our dignity, and that is our call. And that is the great blessing that God is giving to each and every one of us. And so give to God what belongs to God. That is your own self, your heart, your soul, your whole being. But not just the way it is. Give to God the holiest image of yourself. Give to God the most perfect image of yourself, so that He sees His image being reflected back when He looks at you. That is His desire, not simply for Himself, because remember, He gets nothing out of it. That's His desire for you, because He wants you to be as perfect as you can be, as holy as you can be, to love as perfectly as you are able to love.